Amen. Woo, sanbonani.
Dumelang.
Molweni nonke.
Dumelang kaofela.
Jambo. Habari, bon dia. Bon dia. Wow, what a great start. Hi everybody, are you well?
Na re lukile bohle.
Welcome to those late arrivals. As Leon said, my name is Paul.
And
I'm so fired up to be here tonight. What a joy to come together to worship our King. Lord, we just love you so much. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, you're our King. Say, Jesus, come and be enthroned here tonight.
In
every heart we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Folks, I want to remind you, we've gathered here this weekend for our King.
We've
gathered to Jesus. We're going to have lots of fun with one another. We're going to hear great stories from the nations about the nations. But we've gathered to him tonight. I'm carrying such a sense of destiny and purpose in my heart this whole week. There's been so many words and promises about God taking us forward into a new thing. And I'm carrying in my heart such an expectation for what our King is going to do amongst us. Folks, God has such a great call on us as a family of churches. He has called us to be an apostolic people group. That means all of us have a call on our lives to partner with Jesus in what he's doing in the world today, spreading the good news of his son Jesus. This is not about a few leaders, one or two or three leaders. We are an apostolic people group. Every one of us has a role and a responsibility in what God has for us. Folks, none of you this week are come as spectators. We enter in together into his presence. We worship him together. We listen to him together. And I pray that this weekend we will respond to him together. Because if we are going to see the fulfillment of the promises of God over us, it's going to take every single one of us. Because God has called us to something glorious. It's a glorious call. But it's also a call that is going to cost you and I everything. It's a call that is going to exhaust us. It's a call to suffer for him. It's a call to lay down all of our lives and to follow him together. I want you to open your Bibles this evening to the book of Hebrews chapter 12. I'm just going to look at those first three verses. And I believe it's a verse, it's a passage of scripture that is going to help us answer that call as a people. We come into a chapter, we come into a passage of scripture halfway through here.
re fihla mona ka golong yena ya lengolo mo sentse re fatla re batla o fihlela qetello.
We all love Hebrews chapter 11, don't we?
O hle re rata ba Hebrew gaula le shumele metsomong
ka ofela. You all know what's in there, don't you?
Re ya tseba na hona le eng ka ofela mo.
So we're joining in here halfway through.
Ha se re fihla re kenella mo ka re fihla
qetello. It's a great chapter of faith.
Where
there's these lists of men and women who've achieved great things for God through their faith. All the way from Abel and Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Joseph, Moses, the list goes on and on. People who conquered kingdoms. Who shut lions' mouths. Who did great things for God. But also people who were tortured. Persecuted and beaten for their faith. They were jailed, they were stoned. They went about living in deserts and caves and holes in the ground. And it says there that the world was not worthy of them. Heroes of the faith whose love inspire us even today. But friends, listen, they were just weak people. Who accomplished great things for Jesus by depending on Jesus through their faith in Jesus Christ, through believing Jesus for the promises over their lives, they changed the world. God has called us folks to change the world for Him. And we come in here finally at chapter 12 where we hear about the greatest hero of faith. Jesus. The writer says, therefore, do you want to read for us in
Sesotho? Yes. A re ke ndirela hleng hohle hore imelang le sebe se tshwasang fela mme re mathe ka sebeti peisong e re ibetsweng re ntse re tadimile Jesu motadi le mophethi wa tumelo ya rona wa tumelo ya mameletseng sefapano ka baka la thabo eo a ibetsweng a sakang a re letho ka dihlong a ba a ya dula letsong le letona la throne ya modimo le fele le lemohe ya ya mameletseng ganyetso e kalo ya baetsa dibe le tle le seke la gathala ke ho fellwa ke dipelo.
Amen. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Amen.
Amen.
Folks, I have three things for you this evening. Something we need to throw away. How we must run. And where we must look. The writer starts off by saying we need to throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us as we embark on the race that Christ has laid out before us. This picture of a race we know well, don't we? We see it elsewhere in Scripture. Our Christian walk, our life is a race. A long race.
It's not a sprint. You've heard that before. It's a marathon. It takes a long time to reach the end. I ran my first marathon 2 months ago. And it took me a long time to get to the end. But it was worth it. So the writer starts off here by saying we need to throw off some things. And he says two things. Firstly, we need to throw off everything that hinders us. Everything that slows us down. Everything that keeps us back from running this race that God has called us to. And then he says every sin. You see, folks, in our lives, there's so much that keeps us back from laying hold of all the promises of God. Not things that are sinful in themselves, but things that are unhelpful for us. I read last week with my kids a story about Hudson Taylor. Everyone heard of Hudson Taylor? All right, so Hudson Taylor lived about 150 years ago. He was one of the greatest modern-day missionaries the world has ever known. He went from the UK to China and spent his life there 51 years in service. He started a mission organization called the China Inland Mission, which sent more than 1,000 missionaries from the UK to China 150 years
ago.
He raised up more than 700 local Chinese workers. When he died, he left behind him a church of over 125,000 Chinese people. He baptized himself over 50,000 people. It's believed he himself led 35,000 people to Jesus alone. He himself. Folks, there was a race well run. That's Hebrews 11 stuff, isn't it? But folks, you know, before that took place, when Christ first called him as a young boy, a teenager, he was a very weak, soft boy, English boy. But one day he met powerfully with Jesus Christ. And his whole life changed. And he knew that God had called him to China. He knew the race God had given him, the lane God had given him. And he started to prepare himself. He threw off comfort from his life. They said he was a very sickly young boy. And he knew that if he were to succeed in China, he had to physically get stronger. So every day he started to gym outside in the cold weather.
Like Kumbi.
So he could have big, strong muscles. He realized that he had a soft feather bed, and if he were going to succeed in China, he was going to have to get used to sleeping on a board. So he threw away his bed and started sleeping on the floor. He threw off his wealth.
He moved as a teenager from his family into a poor community. And because he knew what he was called to, he started to give his money away so that he himself could go in faith in Jesus Christ's provision for him.
He
started to preach on the street. He taught himself to read Mandarin. So he could understand the Chinese. He taught himself Greek and Hebrew so he could understand the word of God better. And he taught himself Latin so that he could understand medicine, because he went as a medical doctor. Friends, all before he turned 20. He knew what was going to hinder him. He knew what was going to hold him back. It wasn't sin, but it was unhelpful. Because God had called him to something. And he lined up his whole life in that direction. He got rid of every hindrance in his life. Isn't that amazing? Different testimony. I was going to say similar, but it's nothing like that. A few years ago, I used to love riding mountain bikes. And we used to ride and ride every week, hours and hours, up to 10 hours a week. And it was so fun and it was enjoyable. But about 5-6 years ago, I realized that this thing in my life was just taking up too much time. We had planted a church. We're starting to work in the Eastern Cape. We were having more children. And I realized this good thing in my life was starting to hinder me. And so one day, I made a decision. No more riding bicycles. And it's still full of dust in my garage. Friends, look at your life tonight. What is holding you back? What good things are there that are hindering you from running the lane God has called you to? What friendships are not helping you? What hobbies are holding you back? What are you watching on TV? How about your daily habits? How much time do you spend on social media? How much time do you spend eating food, preparing food, or thinking about food? I want you to ask one question of yourself. Is it helping me run? And if it's not helping you run, I want to encourage you. Throw it off. There's too much at stake to be playing with things that hold us back from all that God has for us. But the writer goes on and he says, not just the things that hinder us, but also the sin that entangles us. Now that's far more obvious, isn't it? Far more obvious. You know, folks, we serve a holy God. We serve a God who's looking for people who will hate sin as much as he hates sin.
Mudimo soka batho ba tla hloya sebe jolo ka ha le yena hloile sebe.
It says seven times I found in the Bible, be holy because I am holy. God is holy. Folks, it breaks my heart to see so much sin in the church. There's so much sin that's just acceptable within the church.
And
different communities, different sins are acceptable.
In
some communities, drunkenness is acceptable. And it's covered over by saying, oh, we're under grace. But people are drinking too much. Some communities, it's pride. In some church communities, it's fine for the pastor to be called all these names, apostle, reverend, bishop, this, that, doctor, all of these things, and sit on a throne on the stage. Folks, that's pride.
Folks,
we must be a holy people. We must root out sin from our lives and from amongst our communities. These things that entangle us so easily. What sin are we playing with in our lives today? You know, so often we think, oh, I've been getting away with this sin for so long. Maybe I can just keep getting away with it. You know what I mean? So often we think,
oh,
you know, maybe God will go easy on me. He has for all these years.
You know,
the most tragic thing when you see leaders fall into sin.
Because
we've got to realize that sin has been a lifestyle, a culture of sin in their life, often for many, 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 many years.
And
Satan is able to come and rob away from people the promises and the call of God on their lives because of sin that has been nurtured.
It can be anything,
folks. It can be lust and all sorts of sexual sin. Or anger or jealousy or bitterness. The list goes on and on. Friends, tonight, let's throw it off. Let's throw it off. God has such a call for us. For every one of you, He has a race for you to run. And some of us already are being held back. All He has for you. Throw it off. Guys, this week we've been here for the last few weeks, but the last week there've been a number of words about a coming move of God. About a fresh wind or a fresh wave of God's glory amongst us.
I said
here on Sunday, and I want to say it again, we will never see that unless we get rid of the sin out of our lives. As we go to the nations, as we take Jesus to the ends of the earth, as we plant churches and live holy, righteous lives, let's throw off the sin. Amen.
Amen.
Secondly, the writer says, let us run with perseverance on this race. The race marked out for us. Folks, every one of us has his own race marked out. Your race is different to mine. It's different to the person next to you. God is so creative. He calls every single one of us to a great destiny. No two people the same. Do you know the lane God has set for you?
Now, do
you know what He's called you to?
Now,
I hope you do. And if you don't, I've got faith that this weekend, God is
going to
show you. God wants to catch you up so that you can run unhindered. But also, on this race, we must expect opposition and pain and suffering and rejection. No Christian should be surprised by persecution. If any of us here are ever surprised by the opposition that comes against us, it's because we have not understood the teaching of Jesus. Jesus many times said things like, if anyone would follow me, he must pick up his cross and come after
me.
If anyone wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, you will be persecuted. That's what Paul says. Friends, we must not be surprised when troubles come. When we are misunderstood, and we feel like giving up, when we become discouraged, because all of us have been through that. And some of you here tonight have been running for a long time. You've been in this race for years and years and years. And opposition has come. And persecution has come. And you've suffered. Be strong. Do not be surprised. Do not give up. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus promised it. If Jesus went through all that he went through, it's our privilege to follow him through that. And if we're surprised by these things, they'll knock us off course. So we must throw off all the sin and everything else that hinders. We must run with perseverance or endurance this race. But then the author gets to the real stuff. He says, fix your eyes on Jesus, who's the author and the perfecter of our faith. We will only last the course, folks, if we fix our eyes on Jesus. Not in any other man or any other woman. And certainly not on ourselves. But we need to lift our eyes to Jesus. And who is this Jesus? And we heard earlier from Cop String Worship that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth. Visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things. And in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, he is the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent first. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Folks, this is our Jesus. This is our King. This is the one we to fix our eyes on. Folks, when we run this race Jesus has set before us, it is difficult. It says in Philippians 1, it says, for it has been granted to us that for the sake of Christ, we should not only believe in him, but suffer for his sake. It's important we know Jesus. That's why we need to start with worship. That's why for the last 3 days we've been praying and worshiping Jesus, asking him to lift our gaze to him. So that when we feel like giving up, we remember the race he ran.
But
Jesus is our example. He's our inspiration in this race. He lived a perfect life with perfect faith. In his humanity, he did that, folks. As a man, like you and I, as a man or a woman, he lived a perfect life. It says, even though it says of him in Isaiah 53, it says that he had no form or majesty that we should look at him. And no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised. And we esteemed him not. Jesus was a man. Jesus went through every trial and temptation that you and I go through. He had to resist Satan. He had to learn to throw off all the hindrances in his life and reject sin.
And
Jesus finished his race. He endured all the way to the cross and through the cross. He scorned its shame.
It says
here, let's consider him as our inspiration. But not only is our inspiration, but he's also our daily strength, folks. Not only does he inspire us, but he also helps us every day. He's always nearer enough for us to see, to gaze upon. He is never out of sight. And he will be every day of our lives until that great day arrives when we go home to be with him. And he's now living inside of us. The King of all the universe. Our great Savior. Lives in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Christ in us, the hope of glory, folks. And not only does he live with us,
in us,
but the word tells us that he lives to make intercession for us. That Jesus lives to pray for us. That we would finish strong. That we would run strong and finish strong. Jesus, the King, prays for us. And folks, when we fail, and when sin and life weighs us down, once again, we must look away from ourselves to Jesus. Because Jesus is our great high priest. And with his blood, he cleansed us. With his blood, he paid for sins once and forever. Jesus' saving work is finished. It is complete. That's good news, folks. Because no matter how hard we try, no matter how hard we try and get rid of these hindrances and get rid of the sin in our lives, we all stumble and fall, don't we? But at that time, we need to remember the gospel. The gospel is not just for unbelievers to be saved. The gospel is for us who are saved to remember Jesus and all that he's done for us. And our position in Christ. When you fall, folks. When you stumble. Don't look within you. You're the problem. Look to Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Cry out to Jesus for his grace. Folks, we have a long way to run. We want to all run this race with perseverance.
Now
look around, and most of you I know and am friends with. There's nothing greater than running this race of life with people you know and love. And when I get to the end, I want all of you around. Surely we want each other around. People who've walked together for years and years. But let's look to Jesus, because he's the only one who get us there. Folks, this is how we run with perseverance. This is how we live lives worthy of this great gospel. I have two questions for you this evening. One, what do you need to throw off? And I want you to throw it off tonight. I want you tonight. God has so much for us in these days. You know what it is.
And
my desire is that every one of us leave here tonight. Free to run. Free to run.
If
there's any sin in your life, confess it tonight. Get rid of it. Look to Jesus. He set you free.
If
there's anything else in your life that's unhelpful, just lay it aside. So we can run. And that's my next question. What race have you been called to run?
Do you know?
If you don't know, I have faith for you. And over these days, God wants to pour out His Spirit upon us in such a way that we get caught up in Him. And as we get caught up in Him, we see the lane He's given us. Amen.
Amen.
But folks, also regions beyond.
Regions beyond.
As a family of churches, we have a race to run. Together. We all run individually, but together we have a race to run. To extend the kingdom of God through the planting and establishing of churches across the globe. And if you're here tonight, it's a race you're in. Because we're an apostolic people group. Together we go. Our very name tells us we need to, doesn't it? Regions beyond. God has called us, folks, to regions beyond. Beyond our comfort. Beyond what we know. Beyond what's safe. Beyond our cultures, beyond boundaries, beyond all sorts of things. That's not just a snappy name. And it must never just become something that goes on banners and on name tags. It's God's promise to us. It's the race He has for us. That we are to run our whole lives bringing Him glory by risking our lives for Him. So let's throw off everything that is hindering us together so we can run together. This weekend, folks, believe God wants to show us His blueprint as we see written up there. What's a blueprint? God's great plan for us. God's great plan of salvation through the church. I want to encourage you now. Let us open our hearts to Him. Let us these days fix our eyes on Jesus, who is our inspiration and our great strength day to day. And let's give ourselves to Him. Amen.
Amen.
Let's come and give ourselves to Him. And let's give ourselves to one another. And let's give ourselves to the nations. Because God is with us, folks. And He has such great things for us. Can you stand? Folks, I'm sure over this weekend, we're going to have many opportunities to respond to Jesus and what He's saying to us. And many opportunities to pray for one another. But tonight, I just want us to come before God right where you are. And And I want you just to ask Jesus to come to your hearts afresh. And I want you to fix your eyes on him. And hand your lives over to him afresh. Tonight. And I want to pray for us. And that tonight we all leave here free. To run for him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just where you are, just start to talk to him. As he shows you things, just name it and give it to him. Throw it off tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we love you so much, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come, Lord. Lord Jesus, you know every one of us here tonight. You know our frame, Lord. You know our strengths. You know how weak we are. You know the things that hold us back, that rob us of faith. And Lord Jesus, we want to come before you tonight as a people, as one, Lord, as your people. And we say, Jesus, would you help us tonight to throw off everything that hinders, Lord, and the sin that is entangling us, Lord, that we can run with perseverance the race marked out before us. Help us, Jesus. And Lord, we want to give ourselves to you afresh these days. And we pray you'd be so lifted up in this place, Lord. You would be glorified through all we do and say, Lord. But Lord, that you would be preparing us in these days to run the race you have for us, Jesus. We love you, Jesus, so much. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for your cross and your blood, Lord Jesus. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's give Paul another hand.